Commissioner Malika.
Good morning, colleagues, members of the public. I'm going to call to order this April 17th, 2013 meeting of the House Committee on Higher Education and Workforce Development. We have a full agenda today, but as often happens on these very special days, our intent is not always aligned with the paperwork, and so we expect to see a lot of deliveries over the course of the next couple of hours. And hopefully we'll be able to proceed in a way that nobody will notice that we don't yet have fiscals on every one of these bills. So with that, I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 3488. And yes, you may be wondering why we're doing a public hearing on this last day to work bills. But this was a late-breaking bill that came our way. People became aware of a problem that needed rectification, and we are doing it. So, Victoria, would you please describe this bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3488 modifies the provisions authorizing borrowing by community college districts to clarify that bonds may be issued for the whole district, for a single service area, or for one or more service areas of the district simultaneously, declares an emergency, and is effective on passage.
Okay. Thank you very much, Victoria. And so to explain what the deal is with this, I'm going to invite up our esteemed president of Blue Mountain Community College, John Turner, and John Wyckoff, yes, or just John. Great.
Thank you, Chairman.
If you screw up, we'll come.
My name is John Turner, and I'm the president of Blue Mountain Community College, and I hope this will be a rather simple explanation of what we're asking the committee to look at today. In 2009, HB 3116 was passed, which gave the four community college expansion districts, that's Blue Mountain, Columbia Gorge, Rogue, and Southwestern, the ability to hold bond levy elections district-wide or in a designated area. These four districts, through expansion, had areas annexed to their original districts, and these areas are referred to as service areas, and they're defined in statute. Only the four expansion district community colleges have service districts that are defined in this manner. So when HB 3116 was drafted, it was believed that all four of the expansion districts had two service areas, the original district and the annexed area. Well, not true. Blue Mountain Community College has three. We annexed Baker County in 2000. And so we actually have three service areas that are defined along county lines, Umatilla, Morrow, and Baker counties. BMCC would like to put forward a bond levy for the two counties that made up the original taxing district, Umatilla and Morrow counties. And we believe that under the language and intent of 3116 that this was possible. But a closer reading of the statute by our bond council revealed that the definition of the original terms of the service areas was amended in 2000 when the annexation of Baker County was approved. So HB 3116, which was passed in 2009, did not include the language that is parallel to the language contained in ORS 341.608, subsection 1, that allows financing mechanisms to be implemented in one or more service areas simultaneously at the discretion of the community college board. HB 3488 is a technical fix to this. We believe that it will do what HB 3116 was intended to do when it was passed in 2009. There's a dash one amendment that comes along with this that'll be heard later by Ways and Means that basically is a reference to other parts of statutes that doesn't really belong in the bill. So, that's my testimony, Chairman Dimbro. I hope it's clear, but I'm prepared to answer any questions.
Yes, Vice Chair Huffman.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. John, it's for all four of the community college service districts, then the bill is, and not just specific to Blue Mountain?
That's correct. Anybody, presumably, that would expand their... I'm sorry, Chairman Timpro and Vice Chairman Huffman. Yeah, It would, and anybody that would expand their service districts in the future. It just happened to be that we have three counties in ours, and so we're just a little bit different, and HB 3116 didn't take that into account.
Any further questions? Yes, Representative.
Thank you. Mr. President, I'm not familiar with your structure there, so if you're going to go out for a bond, is it for all the areas under Blue Mountain, or do you have, like, you know, we in Central Oregon we have different campuses,
right?
If you're going out for a bond for your main campus, it's going to apply to everyone.
Thank you, Chair Dimbrough and Representative Wisnant. We would like to have a bond levy that only includes two of our three counties, Umatilla and Morrow counties. And so under the provisions of the bill that was passed in 2009, 3116, we would have to hold a separate bond election in Morrow County and a separate bond election in Umatilla County. What we would like to do is just combine the two of them into one bond election. That's what we're attempting to do.
So clear follow-up, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
So you do go out for bonds for the different parts of your structure. Those two counties are not all of your districts as much.
That's correct. In this case, we would not have a bond election in Baker County.
Thank you.
I do want to follow up on that just a little bit.
Vice Chair Harker.
Thank you. Would Baker County derive benefit from the funds raised by the bonding in the other two counties? And if so, why are they not involved in the voting?
Chair Dimbrough and Representative Harker, you know, we've done a lot of research, market research, into what voters want and don't want. And Baker County has just indicated that they're not ready to go forward with a bond election at this time, but the voters in the other two counties are. In fact, they've shown that they're receptive to a bond, and it would most likely pass at this time. The dollars raised in that bond election would be spent in those two counties and not spent in Baker County. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank
you. Yes, Rep. Gillian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just interested in the timing on this, and please understand this is not a hostile question. This is probably the first time I've been on time to this committee. So, but just what about this coming so late?
Well, I agree it is late. And so, Chair Dimbrough and Representative Gillum, our bond counsel, who we've retained now for about 6 months, was doing his due diligence and looked at the bill 3116. He says, I think we might have a problem here. And so that was several weeks ago, and by the time we've worked ourselves through the bureaucracy, it is a very late date.
Thank you.
Bureaucracy.
Yes. And colleagues, not surprisingly, this bill came to us from the good representative from Pendleton, Representative Jensen, who was here earlier. I told him I thought that Mr. Turner had it handled. So, yes. Any further questions?
Bob, I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Okay. Seeing none, thank you very much, John. And by the way, congratulations on your retirement.
Well,
you've done great service.
My wife is wondering whether or not I'll be under the hood, but I'm hoping to lower my golf handicap here a little bit. So, thank you very much.
Great, thank you. Okay, with that, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3488, and I will open a work session on House Bill 3488. Vice Chair Huffman.
Chair Dimbrough, I move House Bill 3488 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Vice Chair Huffman moves House Bill 3488 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection to our passing this motion? Seeing none, House Bill 3488 passes. Thank you very much. I'm going to close this work session on House Bill 3488. Yeah, might as well. Okay, we're going to jump down to the bottom of the page to House Bill 3245. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 3245. Colleagues, this is the bill having to do with corrections inmates being under the supervision of licensed tradespeople. So we have an amendment for this. We have dash one amendments. There are dash two amendments. Okay. So if you would look at your packet. Yeah, why don't you tell us what this
okay.
does.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3245 requires inmates participating in apprenticeship programs operated by Oregon Corrections Enterprises or Department of Corrections to be under direct supervision of the department employee who is licensed or experienced in trade or occupation, prohibits supervisor from also being an inmate, declares an emergency, and is effective on passage. The dash two amendments that you have before you limit the applicability to plumbers and electricians. It has a minimal fiscal, no revenue impact.
Okay. Thank you, Victoria. Mr. Huffman?
Chair Denbrough, I move to adopt the dash two amendments dated April 15th, 2013.
Vice Chair Huffman moves to adopt the dash two amendments dated April 15th, 2013. Is there any discussion? Again, this limits the requirement to those two trades. Rep. Johnson.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, thank you. I do think the dash twos help the bill. I think they alleviate some of the concerns that some of us had with having these inmates potentially doing working unsupervised in some potentially areas that could have security concerns as well as safety concerns. So I think this will alleviate some of that to ensure that they do have supervision from someone who is qualified to provide that at all times.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion of the amendments? Is there any objection to our adopting these dash two amendments? Seeing none, the amendments are adopted.
Chair Denbrough, I move House Bill 3245 as amended to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Huffman moves House Bill 3245 as amended to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Is there any discussion of the amended bill? Rep. Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Did we hear from Craig Campbell on this bill in testimony?
We were not. I have no memory of hearing from Mr. Campbell.
All right, let's go ahead.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I just wanted to get on the record. I was considering a dash three amendment, which would have required either Mary or Ralph to do the oversight, but there was going to be a little conflict with that, so I didn't push that amendment forward. So.
And we appreciate that.
Yes. So it may not pushing it forward or the fact that I thought about it.
The latter. No, the former. The former. I'm sorry. The former.
Whichever.
Yes. Any further productive discussion of this bill? Seeing none, Cassie, would you please call the roll?
Representative Gallegos?
Aye.
Representative Gilliam?
Aye.
Representative Gorsuch?
Yes.
Representative Greenland?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Wisnik?
Aye.
Vice Chair Harper?
Aye.
Vice Chair Huffman?
Yes.
Chair Denbrough?
Aye. House Bill 3245 has passed. Anybody want to carry this bill?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Huffman will carry. All right. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 3245. Okay. Why don't we get a driver's license one? Okay, colleagues, I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2986. House Bill 2986 is that little bill that we heard a few weeks ago. It had to do with driver's licenses for ex-offenders who wanted to enroll in pre-apprenticeship or apprenticeship programs. And you'll recall that there were some issues that needed to be worked out, you know, with the different agencies that would be involved in this. We had a work group with representatives from corrections, from judiciary, from DMV, and from BOLI, and we think we have come up with something that will work. Those are embodied in the Dash 3 amendments?
Two.
Dash 2 amendments, okay. So I'm gonna call up Kimberly Daly, if you would come up, Kimberly, and explain to us what these Dash 3 and Dash 2 amendments do and what the program might look like.
Sure. Good morning, Chair Dembrough, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Kimberly Daly. I'm a staff counsel with the Oregon Judicial Department. What you have before you this morning are the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 2896. And the Dash 2 amendments allow any person who has their license suspended for failure to pay a fine to come back to the court and ask that their license be reinstated if that person is participating in a pre-apprenticeship or apprenticeship program. And the person would need to provide to the court proof that they're participating in the program. And proof in this case would constitute a form that includes a verification from BOLI certifying that the person is in the program. If the person provides that proof, the court can go ahead and reinstate their license. This is something that can be handled with court staff. The Dash 1 amendment that you heard several weeks ago would have required the person to file a motion with the court. What you have in the Dash 2 is a much more efficient process for the person and the court. And when the person comes to the court, they would also need to establish a payment plan and begin making their first payment within 6 months of completing the program. And once the person completes the program, if their income is not what they had anticipated, they can always then come back to the court and renegotiate the payment plan. And I would be happy to answer any additional questions that the committee has about the Dash 2 amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative.
I'm sorry. You're from ODOT?
Representative Wisnant, my name is Kimberly Daly. I'm with the Judicial Department, with the court system.
Court system.
Yes, sir.
What you just described to me is a lot of work in the courts.
We did look, Representative Dembrough, Representative Wisnant, we spoke with BOLI about the number of persons that are participating in the pre-apprenticeship or apprenticeship programs. We understand that it is a small number of people. We anticipate it would be no more than about 450. And of that, not everyone would take advantage of this bill. Not everyone would have a license suspended for failure to pay fine, and not everyone may seek reinstatement.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative.
What's the top number of people you could have?
If this, Representative Dembrough, Representative Wisnant, one of the things that we wanted to do with the Dash 2 amendments was make this process more efficient for the courts. The Dash 1 amendment would have required a lot more work on the court's behalf because it would have been a motion process. The Dash 2 amendment can just be handled by court staff at the front counter. So it involves a lot less court time. It's an issue that can be handled by court staff, and we anticipate it not taking a large amount of court staff time per case.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative.
Was the committee you described did not include Representative Huffman, the work group?
No, this is just the people from the agencies were working this out. Yes.
I do not see how this cannot go to Ways and Means and have a financial impact on it.
Well, we're waiting to get the fiscal statement on it, and so we'll see. But I think as Ms. Daly mentioned, this would be fairly automatic. BOLI will pre-approve the apprenticeship programs, will provide the forms. The individual will go to the court, won't have to meet with a judge. It will be working with court staff.
Mr. Chair, you're explaining a very complicated system, a long situation. No member of my caucus was on this work group, and at this late date, I don't know how I can honestly vote for a bill that I think could have a lot more financial impact on the system.
No, it does not have a referral on it. How many bills do we have that have a referral that come in here?
Thank you. Rep. Gilliam?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Are there legal problems with this question, which my question is, the level of offense, is that part of this, or is it anyone that's been incarcerated?
Representative Dembro, Representative Gilliam, there is not a limit on the type of offense under the bill as currently drafted.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair. Mm-hmm. Is there a reason for that?
Representative Dembro, Representative Gilliam, I don't think that there is a particular reason for it.
Okay.
Yes. And again, the intention of this is to deal with those cases where people have fines, outstanding fines, due to traffic offenses. Yes. Rep. Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe for you or Kimberly, I'm not sure. So we have a population that could be included in this that otherwise are having difficulty paying fines. So this could be viewed as a positive, as a way to get them in a program to make some money to pay their fines.
Yes.
That otherwise are not getting paid.
Right. And we added the requirement that they start paying those fines back within 6 months of finishing the program. The assumption being they will now be employed, they'll have the wherewithal to pay the fines, they'll be able to get off this vicious cycle that they're stuck in.
Mr. Chair, when we have a chance, I wouldn't mind having a quick recess.
Sure. Okay, we're going to take a quick recess. Kimberly, if you could stay close so you don't have to stay in that chair. Thank you. Okay, colleagues, we're back in session. Any further discussion? Okay, Cassie, would you please...
Do we have a motion?
Motion to...
Oh.
I don't think we have a motion.
Well, let's do that.
Chair Denborough, I move to adopt the Dash 2 amendments dated April 16th, 2013.
Vice Chair Huffman moves to adopt the Dash 2 amendments dated April 16th, 2013. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, Cassie, would you please call the roll?
Representative
Gallegos? Yes. Representative Gillian? I'm sorry, point of order. We are on just the...
These are the amendments.
Yes.
Representative
Gorsuch?
Yes.
Representative Greenland?
Yes.
Representative Johnson?
Yes.
Representative Bozeman?
Yes.
Vice Chair Harper?
Aye.
Vice Chair Huffman?
Yes. The amendments have passed. We will let this one sit for a little bit. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2986. While we wait for the fiscal.
Okay, during the recess, we received paperwork.
Okay. All right. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 3079. 3079 is the bill requiring... institutions to report on various information. You remember that in its original form it was limited to for-profit institutions, and with the proposed amendments it included now publics and independents. Did we adopt those amendments, Victoria?
No.
Okay. Why don't we do that?
Chair Denborough, I move to adopt the Dash 2 amendments dated April 15th, 2013.
Vice Chair Huffman moves to adopt the Dash 2 amendments dated April 15th, 2013. Is there any discussion? We talked about this the other day. Rep. Wisnant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, it's my understanding, I'd like on the record, that you and Representative Johnson worked on these together.
That is correct.
Thank you very much.
Yes, Rep. Johnson.
I wonder if we might hear from some of those who would be impacted by this as to their feelings about the Dash 2s and how they alleviated some of the concerns we had with the original bill.
Sure.
Maybe Jessica would weigh in and
We got plenty of time to kill while we're waiting for fiscals. So this is a chance for Rep. Gilliam to hear from...
to hear about the bill for the first time?
No, I'm over it. Do we have to kill it with the Campbell?
He's done.
Craig, come on. Anybody want to come up? Feel free. Thank you, Jessica. There's room for one more.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, especially Representative Gilliam, thank you for having me here today. I'm here on behalf of the Art Institute of Portland. I wanted to say how thankful we are for the Dash 2 amendments. It was a good bit of work, and I think ultimately it's going to result in students having better information about their choices for their higher education and post K-12 training opportunities. And I want to thank the chair for putting together the work group, Representative Johnson for participating in the work group, and it really worked out very well from our perspective. It was a good opportunity to see how this legislative process can work well, and wanted to thank you for your willingness to have us at the table to have a meaningful discussion about the bill.
Thank you, Ms. Campbell.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Jessica Adamson on behalf of the Northwest Career Colleges Federation. We, too, want to thank you for putting the work group together and really taking a look at this bill, not just from a for-profit perspective, but really across all sectors and turning it into a student-focused exercise where we really are going to be able to provide students better information across all sectors. We were very pleased to be part of the process. We're looking forward to seeing the bill engrossed fully. And continuing to make sure that it does everything we think it does. But we are very excited about the Dash 2s and pleased that we've taken a big step forward to a bill that we believe will ultimately be good for students in all sectors. And we appreciate your and the committee's support of that.
Thank you, Ms. Adamson.
Chair Denver, members of the committee, I'm Elizabeth Howe, representing the University of Phoenix, and I can pretty much just echo what my colleagues here have said. We very much appreciate the process and Chair Denver and Representative Johnson's willingness to hear everybody out and provide a really balanced solution for students to get more information about their post-secondary options.
Thank you. Colleagues, any questions of these?
I could think of something really tough.
Yeah. Well, remember, Mr. Campbell is a quick learner, and so he's mastered this subject. Yes, Rep. Johnson.
Greg, you represent the Culinary Institute as well?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, no, I do
That's
not
too
represent
bad.
The culinary school. I wish I did. Then
I
could
too.
Probably learn how to cook. And
Only if you want to pay $40,000 in tuition.
If I learned to, Mr. Chair, Representative Greenlee, if I learned to be a good enough cook, it might be worth it.
We'll let your guests speak to that. Any further discussion? Okay, I have questions, I'm sorry. Thank you, all three of you, for being here.
Thank you.
Further discussion of the bill, colleagues? Yes, Rep. Johnson.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, thanks. My intent with getting involved in the process earlier on with drafting a bill that got amended into this was simply from the standpoint that we need to do all we can to ensure that students have the best information that they can have about their choices in education, and if that involves providing additional information at the point of registration or at the point that they're considering, whether it's a for-profit, a community college, or a university, the more information, the better, to ensure that the choices they make are good for them and that students aren't incurring debt that's not necessary and needful and so forth. So I'm happy with what we've been able to accomplish here.
Thank you. Further discussion? Okay.
Motion's on the table.
The motion's on the table, yeah. Is there any objection to our adopting these -2 amendments? Seeing none, the -2s are adopted. Vice Chair Huffman.
We're ready then?
Yep.
Okay. Chair Denbrough, I move House Bill 3079 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Huffman moves House Bill 3079 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, is there?
Fine, we just need a bit for Kathy.
Oh,
thanks. All right.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry, colleagues. You're just getting the fiscal right now on this.
Come roll. Fiscal because the HEC doesn't have any staff.
HEC doesn't have any HEC.
That's funny. We should
therefore, we should just pile on.
Yeah, we should de-staff all for it. No cost.
Okay. Cassie, why don't you call the roll, please?
Representative Davis?
Aye.
Representative Gillian?
Aye.
Representative Forsyth?
Yes.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Hogan?
Yay.
Vice Chair Huffman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Huffman?
Yes.
Chair Denbrough?
Aye. The motion passes.
Can I clarify that? Did Representative Gilliam vote aye or sigh?
I think it was both.
Actually, I didn't hear Representative
Wisnitz
vote either.
Yes.
Aye.
Thank you.
Actually,
yeah.
He said yay.
Yay.
Yeah, he did. He did say yay.
Thank you.
Yay, correct.
Okay, so the motion passes. Rep. Johnson, you want to carry this?
Thank you.
Okay. Rep. Johnson will carry this. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 3079.
That's right. They are.
And so we
have 21 please the room.
Yes.
Okay, colleagues, I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2149. House Bill 2149, you'll recall, is our version of the bill that came out of the Special Joint Committee on Governance, having to do with institutional boards. Inmates. We are going to send this bill to the Rules Committee.
Yes. Right. 2149 is going to Rules?
Yes.
We didn't pass it yet.
Passed.
2789. Chair Dembro, I move House Bill 2149 without recommendation to the Committee on Rules and then be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Vice Chair Huffman moves House Bill 2149 without recommendation to the Committee on Rules and then be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion, Rick Johnson?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, my question would be, why would we do this?
Oh, we feel that this bill may still have some life in it, and for it to remain alive, that's where we need to go.
Follow-up? I guess my question would be, why does it need to have life when there is a fully functioning, alive bill, Senate Bill 270, on the other side that is the operative vehicle for this concept?
I guess the answer is you never know. Further discussion? Seeing none, Cassie, would you please call the roll?
Representative Gallegos?
Aye.
Representative Gilliam?
Aye.
Representative Forsyth?
Yes.
Representative Greenlee?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
No.
Representative Lisnick?
No.
Vice Chair Harker?
Aye.
Vice Chair Huffman?
No.
Aye. Motion passes. I'll close the work session on House Bill 2149. Colleagues, I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 3341. 3341 is the bill that we amended. We amended this on Monday, and it has to do with the relationship between for-profit institutions and public institutions in terms of new programs, the process of new programs being approved. We amended it to include a higher level of cooperation between the for-profits and the publics, and the HEC exploring ways to make that happen. So, do we Parker, do this one.
Roll for me.
Chair Dembro, I move House Bill 3341 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Harker moves House Bill 3341 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Could you explain, I don't think originally everybody was on board on the bill, so could you refresh my memory again what we did and how people got on board?
Okay. So on board is a relative term, Rev. Upman, but the amendment that we adopted on Monday did cause some people to be more favorable towards this bill, let's put it that way, and the terms of the bill, the original terms of the bill prevail, you know, that is that if community colleges and universities wanted to create a new program, there would be a process by which all the institutions in the area would be notified that they're creating a new program. The other colleges and universities could contact the institution and explore some kind of partnership or explain why they felt that they would prefer that the public institution not institute this new program, and they that would there would be an attempt to resolve the differences, and if the differences couldn't be resolved, the college could go forward, the public college or university could go forward with their new program.
So short of kumbaya.
Just kumbaya.
I think it's a step in the right direction. I think it does point to, as all the work that we've been doing with the HEC bills starting last session, pointing towards a higher level of cooperation and strategic partnership between all the higher ed sectors in the state.
I had hoped for the full BIA. So I may be a no, just to get on the record that I wanted the full kumbaya.
Yes. And I will say that there were some people that wanted to have the notification, the attempt to partner, removed from the bill, and we decided that that would be not really in the interest of the state, so that's why we have it here. So perhaps it's not kumbaya, but maybe it's kumba.
Yeah.
any further discussion? Cassie, would you call the roll, please?
Representative Gallegos?
Aye.
Representative Gilliam?
No.
Representative Gorsuch?
Yes.
Representative Greenland?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
No.
Representative Woodman?
No.
Vice Chair Harker?
Yay.
Vice Chair Huffman?
No.
Chair Dembro?
Aye. Motion passes. It's a separate referral. No. Okay, I'll carry it. Okay, I'll close the work session on House Bill 3341.
Let's see. We have 3120.
Okay.
Waiting on
2986
and 3115, but we have 3120.
All right, great. Come and open a work session on 3120. Colleagues, we did receive the Dash 3 amendments last night. And we also have Dash 4 amendments that are before you. Why don't we deal with the Dash 4s first? So, Vice Chair Huffman, do you want to make a motion?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
We don't have any paperwork on Dash 4. We have Dash 3. And we need to receive amendments on Dash 2.
Dash 4s came out last night, didn't they?
This PDF. I think we actually got them before we got the Dash 3.
Okay, we're going to stand at ease for a couple minutes. Okay, we are back in order. Vice Chair Harker.
Yes, Chair Dembrough, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote by which the Dash 2 amendments were adopted.
Vice Chair Harker moves the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote by which the Dash 2 amendments were adopted. The motion is not debatable. Is there any objection to the motion? This allows, we now have Dash 3s. This allows the Dash 3s, which are a gut and stuff, to replace the Dash 2s. Is there any objection?
This is 2149.
No, this is 3120. Okay, seeing none, okay. Okay, go ahead. No, we're in the middle.
Chair Dembrough, I move we reconsider the vote by which the Dash 2 amendments dated March 21st, 2013 were adopted.
Vice Chair Harker moves to reconsider the vote by which the committee adopted the Dash 2 amendments dated March 21st, 2013. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, we're now, the measure is once again before the committee in its original form. Vice Chair Harker.
Chair Dembrough, I move to adopt the Dash 3 amendments, which are dated April 16th, 2013.
Vice Chair Harker moves to adopt the Dash 3 amendments dated April 16th, 2013. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair, could yes. Mrs. Cox give us a brief, what is, or the chair would, I'm sorry, I had a family emergency last night, I did not get it.
Yes, so when we last talked on Friday, we were looking at the draft version of the Dash 3 amendments and put the request out among the stakeholders for changes that they thought needed to be made. And there were a number of changes, but I would say really none of them very substantive. They were all, for the most part, technical in nature. And these went out last night. I have not heard back from anyone that you know they've observed any problems with the Dash 3s. I can only assume that they studied them in detail and found them to their liking. But actually, Hans, would you mind coming up?
I think that's not a safe assumption.
Thank you.
You're not the safest.
Hans, and everyone, you know, I can't remember now if we've been introduced to Hans. Hans has been working very closely with us on these on the bill, the drafting of the bill, and the amendments. Been working, you know, thanks to the support and participation of the Oregon Business Council. Hans, would you introduce yourself?
Sure. Representative Dembrough, for the record, my name is Hans Bernard with the Oregon Business Council. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. The Dash 3 amendments that you have in front of you have been refined from the version that you saw last Friday. They alter the bill and the proposal that you have discussed, backing away from the concept of creating a Department of Post-Secondary Education, but still transferring the State Board of Education authorities for community colleges and the Oregon Student Access Commission authorities for student financial access and aid programs to the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, effective of July of next year. That will effectively have the Higher Education Coordinating Commission serve as the policy coordination body for the state on post-secondary matters. This bill, House Bill 3120, is amended by the Dash 3s, if you choose to go in that direction today, combined with Senate Bill 270 and the policy included there, would together create institutional governing boards at some of our larger state universities, establish the State Board of Higher Education as the governing board for the rest of the universities, the regional campuses, and possibly Oregon State University, and move the statewide policy coordination authorities for post-secondary education on the university side to the HEC. The House Bill 3120 that you're considering today takes care of the other side of that equation, which is transferring the authorities over the community colleges and the student financial aid to the Higher Education Coordinating Commission. In addition, this bill recharters the Higher Education Coordinating Commission to kind of step back, taking a look at what you established in Senate Bill 242 and other bills that were passed in 2011 and 12, and really working with stakeholders, understanding that now the Higher Education Coordinating Commission would be dealing with these three aspects of post-secondary education to make sure that it's done in a holistic manner. So that is what is included in your Dash 3 amendments. I believe that they were sent out to stakeholders. I've had a chance to talk to several individuals this morning who have taken a chance or taken the opportunity to read through them. As Representative Dembro, Chair Dembro indicated, I would describe the changes, over 90% of the changes that were done between the draft Dash 3s and the ones that you have in front of you today, as stylistic or conforming in nature.
Are we talking about Dash 3s or Dash 4s?
These are the Dash 3s.
We have them before us in our electronic system somewhere.
Yeah, they came last night. Yeah.
And did I hear there would be Dash 4s?
I think Rep. Johnson will speak to the Dash 4s. We don't have the paperwork on the Dash 4s, and the Dash 4s amend the bill in one small area. It has to do with board composition. So, Rep. Johnson, did you want to speak to that?
I actually had a question for Hans.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a question he can answer, can he not? But Hans, one of the as we set off down this path towards consolidation of our higher ed governance and so forth, one of the hoped for results would be that there would be some efficiencies, i.e., maybe fewer FTE in the world of higher ed governance and so forth. Is that anything that you're able to, in general sense at least, speak to in terms of consolidation of heads of agencies or boards or, you know, all the other, you know, the spaghetti chart that we've had, and then we've had seen the PowerPoint, and now we're more efficient, more streamlined now. So is there anything you can point to in terms of actual efficiencies that could ensue from the passage of these Dash 3s?
Chair Dembro, Representative Johnson, I think that question is probably best answered in the Ways and Means process. That said, I think that in the original organizational chart that, as your committee has dubbed him, Representative Emeritus Cannon has outlined, we were getting closer to that reality that there would be efficiencies realized. These amendments take us, take the, you know, that process probably two-thirds of the way there. I imagine that there will be efficiencies. Sitting here trying to articulate them today would be outside of my scope, and would say that that's probably best dealt with in Ways and Means.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
If I could just add to that, I think that the efficiencies are also going to be found when we put Senate Bill 270 and House Bill 3120 together, either literally or, you know, through conforming. And that is, as Hans said, something that will be become clear in the Ways and Means process as LFO does its analyses, et cetera. And, you know, during that process, you know, I'm committed to keeping the committee informed as those analyses become, are done and become more evident. Rep. Huffman, did you have a question?
No. I think Rep. Johnson had more.
Well, yeah, just to follow up, I guess, to that, and I understand what you're saying. I guess I think it's important for all of us, not just this committee, but for the legislature in general, to know that If, in fact, we're going to reinvent the wheel, if you will, for higher ed governance, it'd be nice to know how many spokes there actually are on that wheel and exactly what the cost is for that and the efficiencies that we will be able to realize from that. So we'll look forward to getting some more clarity on that as time goes on. But I would, can I speak to the other?
Why don't we finish with Hans first?
Okay.
Rep. Huffman, did you have a question for Hans?
Well, didn't 3120 also prescribe makeup of the board? Some prescription there?
Yes, the dash threes don't change that.
And I think I had shared that I had a concern about that earlier. Mm-hmm. I think you had said that you hadn't really heard from anybody with concerns. And I think I've always shared the concern about being too prescriptive on the makeup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was focusing on the changes from what we looked at on Friday. And we'll get to that subject in just a sec. And yes, Rep. Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Pardon me?
Question.
Oh, sorry, yes.
Yes.
On page 146, section 132, it says any trustee, the trustees relate to which now?
I'm going to have to get a copy of the amendment.
Well, we can do that offline okay. if you'd like. I just okay. had a question on that. Thank you.
You got to vote today. You don't have more time.
Okay.
You want to go with it? Any further questions for Hans? Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank
Hans.
You.
Great.
200.
Okay, Rep. Johnson, you want to talk about your proposed change?
Yeah, Chair. As you know, one of my concerns has been the composition of the HEC as this bill will give the Higher Ed Coordinating Commission really all the power to govern our and oversee our higher education system from community colleges to universities and so forth. It's my hope that we can set them up for success, and a big part of that is based on the board composition. And I think that the more stakeholders we place on that board, i.e. people that are there primarily because they're representing a group or a group of individuals, I think becomes more problematic. One of my personal, I guess, criticisms of the Oregon Education Investment Board is that I think we've created a stakeholder board that has a very difficult time making strategic decisions because they're more concerned with the impact on who they represent. So my concerns with the bill that we're actually in the dash, well, I guess it's the dash twos at least, maybe it went beyond that, is that we have three staff individuals, we have two students and so forth out of a board of 15, and I just think that becomes problematic. I don't think it creates a playing field for great governance and great oversight. So I have dash fours. For whatever reason, they weren't able to make their way through the electronic system yesterday. That's simply scale it back to a 13-member board that would have one higher ed employee, could be a university staff person, could be a community college, and then one student also from somewhere in the higher ed world. I think it makes the process much more streamlined. I think it ensures that the board would be able to be much more a governing board, unencumbered by allegiances or the concern of representation. So that remains my concern, Mr. Chair, about the bill. And my point, everything we're ladling on and giving to the HEC assumes that they're going to be able to function well. And that's my concern. There is no more important part of the bill than the makeup of the HEC, I would say. That is the nexus of what 3120 is about. So therein lie my concern. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Let me just respond to those. First of all, the OEIB has no designated slots on it, just for the record. State Board of Higher Ed does. It has two faculty and two students on it, and as does the current HEC, has two students and two faculty. And I guess my question to you, Rep. Johnson, would be, have you seen any evidence of there being problems on the State Board of Higher Ed due to the fact of there being students and faculty, or is this just speculative?
Well,
Mr. Chair, I think we have greater responsibilities that the HEC is going to be involved in that cut across much more of a broad spectrum of higher ed concerns and so forth in terms of budgeting and program authorization and so forth and so on, the concern not just the university system but community colleges. So I also have seen the State Board of Ed, who have a very less prescriptive path, and I think they function very, very well.
The State Board of Higher Ed has two faculty and two students.
The Board of Ed, I guess, is what I'm referring to, that I think you've served on in the past.
I have.
Right.
And my motion was informed by that experience, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Sure. Well, I think we just have to agree to disagree on this, Mr. Chair, but that would be my concern.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Yes, of course.
I would just like to say that I do support the dash 3 and do not support the dash 4. I like the inclusion of the students in the standard.
Where is this bill going for?
Yes, this bill will go to the Committee on Ways and Means, where it will, we assume, be joined tomorrow by Senate Bill 270.
Democrat, yeah.
And the work will begin then on bringing them. They're somewhat in alignment. They're not totally there, but they're. I think they're pretty close. I have to say, I think people have done an admirable job of getting these lined up to the greatest extent possible. But you know, once Ways and Means gets a hold of it, LFO particularly, they're going to be looking at positions and, you know, ways of you know, perhaps how to coordinate the work that's in the two bills in a better way, to presumably to create the kind of efficiencies that Rep. Johnson spoke to.
Mr. Chair, I need to put on the record, we received at 4:27 last night notification that there was an amendment available. It's a 222-page amendment.
Mm-hmm.
We've been working on this bill since the first week, and putting us in a position where on the last day we have to vote on an amendment that I doubt any, perhaps you, but I doubt any others of us have read, and it's basically that amends the whole bill. I think it's a real problem. I'm going to vote yes, but we'll move it to Ways and Means, but I certainly don't want anybody to think that I'm doing it on the basis of the fact that I actually read it and know what it's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's very frustrating.
Yes, no, I appreciate that, Rep. Raymond. But again, the substance of the bill is identical to what we talked about on Friday, to what we received last week. I realize...
Word for that, and that's why I'm giving it a yes vote. But
thank you. I appreciate that. And, you know, as I say, this bill will continue to develop. Yeah, I'm sure, and I promise that you will receive regular reports, and I'll be seeking your input on a regular basis as the bill develops. Those of us who were involved last session with Senate Bill 242, when that bill left the Senate, I think it was in its 10th set of amendments, and it ended up with 25.
Well, Mr. Chair, these things are not supposed to be dealt with in policy and Ways and Means. This is why we have policy committees.
And yeah, as I say, I promise that you'll be kept abreast of it and you'll have a say in it before you have to vote on it on the floor. You'll have a hand in shaping it. Any further discussion? Vice Chair Harker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Of the 15 proposed board members, how many are voting?
On the HEC, they all vote.
And on the HEC, when decisions are being made by the group, what is, I've been scanning the little 222-page document here. What are the votes required for passage of decisions that are being voted upon? Simple majority?
Yes, I believe so.
Are there any that are require more than a simple majority?
Not that I know of.
Tax bills.
Tax bills, correct. Okay, thank
yes.
you.
Rep. Gorsuch.
Well, I agree with what Rep. Greenlick is saying. I too have some concerns about this, but it's somewhat overwhelming to get that kind of a document, 222 pages. So. but I will support the bill.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Okay. Cassie, we have a motion on the floor for the amendments.
Yes, three amendments.
Yeah. Cassie, would you call the roll, please?
Representative Gallegos?
Yes.
Representative
Elliott? Yes. Point of order, we are
adopting the dash three.
Voting to adopt the dash
3120.
Yeah. No.
Representative Forsyth?
Yes.
Representative Greenland?
Yes.
Representative Johnson?
Yes.
Representative Woodruff?
Yes.
Vice Chair Barker?
Yay.
Vice Chair Huffman?
No.
Chair Dethrow?
Aye. Okay, the amendments are adopted. Discussion of the base bill, which is the dash three. So further discussion.
We need a motion.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Chair Dembrough, I move House Bill 3120 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the measure be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Vice Chair Harker moves House Bill 3120 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the measure be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Cassie, would you please call the roll?
Representative
Gallegos? Aye.
Representative Elliott?
No.
Representative Forsyth?
Yes.
Representative Greenland?
Yes.
Representative Johnson?
No.
Representative Woodman?
No.
Vice Chair Harker?
Yes.
Vice Chair Huffman?
No.
Aye. Motion passes. 3120 will go to Ways and Means. Close the work session on House Bill 3120. Okay. Colleagues, why don't we stand in recess until 9:30?
Just before you do.
Yeah.
Until when?
9:30.
Just a quick comment, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
This is the last day, and we got a long group of things. I've been on other committees, and I will not name those committees. I want to compliment you on the way you handle this committee, not only our smart aleck remarks, but more importantly, when there's disagreement, you have consistently called on us and listened to whatever concerns we may have. And I just want you to know that I appreciate that very much as we go forward and discuss bills that we may or may not agree on. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Rep. Gilliam. We may not have too many more bills to consider this session.
Well, I want to tell you now.
I appreciate that. Actually, before we go into recess, colleagues, while we are in waiting mode, I want to tell you that as a result of your good behavior so far today, we will not be meeting on Friday, nor on Monday. So we'll be coming back next Wednesday. Our hope is to have our session with the Secretary of State on the audit at that time. We're trying to get that lined up. We've also started talking about various information sessions to have after the break. And that would include sessions on colleges of education in the state, on Complete College America, on athletics in the state, on remediation and the challenges of remediation. What else?
Will we get good information on U of O's report on the football problems with their program?
I think when we have our session on athletics, we'll talk about that, yes. Anyway, my point is, colleagues, if you have any issues that you would like to see us be exploring and, you know, to bring in experts on, you know, on those issues, please let us know and we'll get them lined up. Okay. So with that, let's stand in recess until 9:30. Okay, colleagues, it's 9:32. We're back in session.
Yeah.
I am going to open a work session on House Bill 2986. Vice Chair Huffman.
Chair Denborough, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking action on House Bill 2986 without having the fiscal impact and revenue impact statements on hand at this time.
Vice Chair Huffman moves the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking action on House Bill 2986 without having the fiscal impact and revenues impact statements on hand at this time. So, colleagues, there's one of the agencies that is involved with the driver's license bill hasn't yet reported in, and it's one that is not directly related to the bill anymore, but we do need to hear from them in terms of the cost that's involved. So we have received permission from the Speaker's office to move forward on this.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Would the chair and the be willing to go to the speaker transfer it to rules so we can get a... I'm just concerned again about the workload, and I think it's...
Excuse me. The motion is undebatable.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Let's just do this. The motion is undebatable. This is the rule suspension.
Okay.
Is there any objection to our suspending the rules? Okay, seeing none, the rules are suspended. Now,
Chair Denborough, I move House Bill 2986 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Huffman moves House Bill 2986 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Yes, Rick Greenlick.
Yeah, the have the other agencies reported that it's not a problem? Is that
apparently?
Thank you,
Rep. Johnson.
Mr. Chair, why would we not want to just confer or move this to rules as Rep. Wisnett suggested, in the interest of full disclosure before it goes to the floor?
I think that the expectation is that we're looking at a minimal fiscal, since corrections now in the original bill, the way the original bill was drafted, corrections played a major part in this process, and now they don't really play any part in this process. So, it seems that if the other pieces are in place with an acceptable fiscal, we should be able to move forward with this. Okay, let's stand at ease, colleagues. Okay, colleagues, we're back in order, or at least in session. The motion has been made. There was a recommendation to send it to rules. I think my preference would be just to send it to the floor. If it turns out that there is a fiscal on this bill that is of any substance, it will then the speaker will subsequently refer it to, you know, will send it to Ways and Means. If not, then it can proceed to the floor.
So, can you recess for just a moment?
Okay, colleagues, we're in recess. Okay, we're back in session. Colleagues, we just heard from LFO that they did hear back from corrections and they're preparing a report. It should be here in about 10 minutes or so. So why don't we stand at ease for another 5 minutes? Hopefully by then we'll have gotten back the news from 3115. We can do that, and then this other will have come in.
Yes. Could either one of the new members, the newest members of the legislature, go get coffee for the rest of us?
And the rookie.
You know, I'm afraid that would have been in order. That motion would have been in order 2 months ago.
Okay.
Rep. Gilliam.
Now they're veterans.
Okay. We are in recess. Okay, colleagues, we're back in session 9:55, and we did get the report on House Bill 2986 from LFO. The fiscal impact is minimal. So I think we're at the point, is there further discussion of this motion? Seeing none, Cassie, would you please call the roll?
Representative Gallegos?
Aye.
Representative Gilliam?
No.
Representative Gorsuch?
Yes.
Representative Greenland?
Aye.
Representative
no.
Representative Woodson?
No.
Vice Chair Harker?
Yay.
Vice Chair Huffman?
Yes.
Chair Dumbrough?
Aye. Motion carries. I'll carry the bill. We will close the work session on House Bill 2986. And I've been told that the paperwork on 3115 is being printed up or in editing. So let's go back into recess. Okay, colleagues, we are back in session, 9:58. And I'm going to open the work session on House Bill 3115. This is our final bill. Vice Chair Harker.
Chair Dumbrough, I move to adopt -2 amendments dated April 15th, tax day, 2013.
Vice Chair Harker moves to adopt the -2 amendments dated April 15th, 2013. Is there any discussion of the amendments? And just to remind you, the amendments Rep. Holvey, this is the apprenticeship bill, and Rep. Holvey described the amendments to us, but we didn't actually get the amendments until the hearing was finished, and they make a number of changes that I think improve the bill, and so
this would be the time to amend them. Any discussion?
One amendment to twos?
Hmm?
Is there one amendment?
Just the dash two amendments. Right. Okay. Seeing no further discussion, Cassie, would you call the roll on the dash two amendments?
Aye.
Representative Gilley?
Yay.
Representative
Gorsuch?
Yes.
Representative
Johnson?
No.
Representative Johnson?
No.
Vice Chair Harker?
Yay.
Vice Chair
Huffman? Aye. Okay, the amendments are adopted. Vice Chair Harker?
Yes, Chair Denbrough.
No, we don't have it. Recess.
Okay.
Sorry.
I move we recess.
Vice Chair Harker moves that we recess. That is non-debatable. No. Well, let's stand in recess just a couple more minutes.
She's got it. If you're ready.
The guy
okay.
That,
okay, colleagues. Those who wait are rewarded. We're back in session. It's 10 after 5.
I don't think
no, it's not.
10 at 5 after 10.
Oh, I'm so
go.
It's 5 o'clock, Sean.
I follow your lead on most things, but not.
Okay. So, Vice Chair Harker, I think you're in the middle of making a motion.
It usually is.
We have adopted the amendments, so I am, Mr. Chair Denbrough, moving House Bill 3115 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Vice Chair Harker moves House Bill 3115 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Colleagues, you've just received the fiscal analysis, which is indeterminate, but presumably that will get fleshed out in ways and means where this will go. Let me just say, colleagues, for the record, that you know I support sending this down to Ways and Means. I think that Rep. Holvey has been working hard on this issue, and I commend him for his steadfastness. Whatever happens to this bill in Ways and Means, I'm increasingly convinced that we need to have a serious work group on this issue of apprenticeship, and I plan to convene it during the interim or perhaps even starting it before, and I'd like to bring the stakeholders together. I would like to talk to Representative Johnson about perhaps being another representative of the committee on that work group, and I'll let you know more about that. So, yes, Rep. Johnson.
Mr. Chair, this fiscal may be, quote-unquote, indeterminate. However, if you read on, it says the required use of apprentices, additional retained amounts, the administrative overhead for contractors is anticipated by state contracting agencies to increase the overall cost of public improvement projects. The amount of the increase is unknown. That's the indeterminate, which is very concerning to me, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, we had testimony that the gentleman said the award went 30%. High or something, so it doesn't matter, Elizabeth.
It does matter, sir, but yes, no, and again, to my point, certainly there will be costs to this, but apprenticeship is a really important part of our post-secondary education investment as a state, and so it will cost something. Seeing no further discussion, Cassie, would you... I'm sorry, Rep. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to again restate how strongly opposed I am to moving this bill anywhere. It should not have been in higher ed. This is a business and labor issue, but the costs to the private sector, the costs to contractors who are going to have to comply with this 3% retainage is very problematic, and I don't know what the powers that be above outside of this room have in mind, but I'm just very concerned with passing this bill out of here because I can see no constructive purpose for it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Cassie, would you call the roll, please?
Representative
Williams?
Nay.
Representative
Gorsuch? Yes.
Representative
Johnson?
No.
Representative Whitman?
No.
Vice Chair Harker?
Yay.
Vice Chair Huffman?
No.
Chair Denver?
Aye. The motion passes. The bill goes to Ways and Means. Colleagues, thank you very much for your patience. Those of you in the audience, thank you for spending this morning with us. We are adjourned until a week from today.